In the beginning, the goddess herself said, I wish I had, like, something to listen to. I'm bored. And then there was Queermocast!
Queermo is the Queermocast. It's the Queermo is the Queermocast. Welcome to the Queermocast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Queermocast. I am KJ, pronouns are they, them. And over here to my front, my left, my right, my all my sides, we have...
Shim Sham, any pronouns said with love. Good morning. Good noon. And...
Good morrow.
And top of the morning to you. Happy St. Patrick's Day.
Oh my goodness. In typical us fashion, you will be hearing this well past the holiday. Happy St. Patrick's Day today while we're, you know, while we're recording.
Yep. Aaron go bra. That's it.
Aaron go bra. I was going to say, can you regale us with some of your excellent Irish accentry?
Sure. Giaditch, Kajamer, Tatu, Ishmisha, Austin, Ash Belfast, Jermaine.
She is from Belfast, everybody. She's not lying.
Ash Belfast, Jermaine.
Ash Belfast, Jermaine.
Yeah, you're welcome. Giaditch is hello, and Giasmuraditch is hello back. And I don't think anyone who speaks Irish uses that phrase. it's like a formal good morning. It'd be like in English being like good morning to you.
and a good morning to you as well. Mama, how are you?
Well, God, it's been a roller coaster of a spring. And spring hasn't even started.
It hasn't even fully started yet.
It's just been, I definitely have identified some seasonal depression happened this year for sure. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to buy one of those happy lights and I'm going to commit 15 minutes a day to just staring into that fucker.
Oh my goodness. Just staring directly into light of happiness.
I've read mixed things that the sunlight has to hit your skin or your eyes for vitamin D production. So I'll just get the happy light and put my face in it. So we're getting skin and eyes.
She is determined, everybody.
Because now that the days are getting a little bit longer, I'm doing better. I'm doing better. And so obviously something was going on.
I mean, you're hitting on a lot of really important points. I think for a lot of folks, that shortening of the day, the just never-ending darkness really, really gets to the heart of what makes a lot of people feel sad. Do you know what I mean? Like, because you know me, I am truly like a vampire at heart. I know that I have like seasonal issues, but mine tend to really hit their peak in July and August, where I'm just melting and sad. And I actually wish it would get darker earlier. Like, I'm weird. I'm a little bit outside.
No, I'm the same way. Summer comes with its own kind of depression. For me, it's just when we get to that point of summer here in the Midwest where the wet heat is just... And that's a huge term that's becoming more well-known with global warming is I forget it, so not that well known, but people talking about the humid heat point where the human body can no longer regulate its body heat, because in like a dry heat like Arizona, humans can, we can tolerate a lot more heat because it's not humid and we can sweat. But in like Florida, with that human heat, at a certain temperature and humidity, the human body can no longer regulate itself and, you know, it will just die. So that's something I'm hearing a lot on podcasts and stuff where people are concerned about the environment. And so here in the Midwest, we get very humid summers, and there's a point in July where the humidity and the heat, you're just like, I want to die.
It's too much. Like, it's, I, as somebody who lives here, because I actually like the cold, and we didn't get a ton of that this winter.
No.
I have been, although it's hard to say. I got really curious about this today because there's a good chance we're making a shift from El Nino to La Nina. Now, El Nino is the ocean water near the, I forget what it was called, but there's a point in the ocean where the ocean water's warm a half a degree or more. That's an El Nino year. And if they cool generally half a degree or more in the opposite direction, that's a La Nina year. Now, I'd have to look that up and make sure that I understood that correctly,
because
I
just read that information
this morning. You can take that to the bank. But basically, it's really hard to predict, especially now when we can't use historical data from the 70s and 80s like we used to be able to, because the entire climate of our planet has changed. So they're actually having a lot more trouble predicting weather patterns the last couple of years, which is not surprising if you've been paying attention at all. And yet also kind of like, wow, did it feel for a while there like maybe they were getting a little better with predicting weather? I think so. But now it feels like the weather forecast for 7 days out changes every 35 minutes. Like, we're having trouble predicting what's coming next. Which, you know, again, appropriate, I think. I hear what you're saying. I've never tried a sad light or a happy light, whichever way you think about it. Because I find the idea of sticking my face into a really bright light like that to be maybe one of the worst things I can personally imagine for myself. But I know how well they work for other people. So I hope that when you get one, it has that desired impact. Because I know that it can really turn things around.
And you don't have to, you know, you can just put it on your desk and have it shine on you while you're working. You don't have to.
I just don't like, no, you just know, I don't like bright lights. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm literally sitting in the dark right now. Like, that's how I am.
She's in a cupboard. It's darkness, and she's sipping on a little bit of blood.
I mean, essentially, it's the blood of a coffee bean. Girl. I do have my pretty lights set up across the room, though. I have my twinkling lights over there, so it's still pretty.
Twinkly lights, they make our spirits bright.
So, Burgers. Mama.
Yeah.
I love that episode. But we don't have time to talk about that today.
No.
We can't talk about the bleakening today.
Mm-mm.
We have to talk about queer rage.
Rage!
Rage part three!
Le quasi amputé.
Oui.
Oui.
And we have been like planning this for a little while, but in typical us fashion, we've been very up and down the last couple of weeks, let's say, in terms of how we've both been doing mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually, interdimensionally. We're up and down. So I do actually have quite a bit of information today, but a lot of it is collected and explored very surface level. So I'm sticking to the things I've spent more time deep diving in today, just because I want to get to the heart of some issues. And then I also want to spend a little time at the end. I just want to do a search. I purposely haven't looked these up yet. We're going to end today with a little positivity. And I'm going to look up some positive headlines, not because it has to be toxically positive, but because we do need a little reminder that everything isn't going to hell. We have some positives, and those are the things we need to pour time and energy into so we can, again, actionably fix things moving forward. So that's the structure for today. But, Mama, it's tarot card time.
Yay!
And it's very dark in here, so I doubt you can see that. But today we have the King of Pentacles.
Oh, so we have a... So it looks like Jesus holding a star in a field of wheat. No, you tell me what it is.
In a field of wheat. I mean, you're not entirely wrong. It is... What I would consider culturally accurate looking Jesus,
okay.
Because it is a person with darker skin. It's not a Swedish tennis player like he's often depicted as. But holding on to a star and also with a bunch of different things around, so coins, nature, like leaves and vines, but also a lot of opulence. So it's like this rooted to the groundness that pentacles have, but also pentacles deal with the world, worldly things. And
remind us, what is a pentacle?
Pentacle is a coin.
Okay.
It is a coin, which again, of the earth, right? Money. But the pentacles don't always deal directly with like physical wealth, but they can. But they're often about spiritual, emotional, like the way that you navigate through the world and work with other people in those regards. And the King is very focused on stability and making sure that things function correctly. And there's two sides to the King. There's the side that's very forthcoming with like generous on the outside, but very buttoned up on the inside. So willing to give of their money or to put forth what feels like the right thing to say, but not really showing their hand. The King also can represent power structures. And that's what I want to talk about today. The power structures tend to hoard things. You'll notice the King is holding this very opulent star very close. There's a spill of coins in front of the King, but not a lot of them, right? And what we're experiencing right now is a lot of power structures throughout the world, including here in our country, that there's so much wealth, so much that could be utilized that is just not being utilized for anything useful. The money's not pouring into the places that it should be. We're not uplifting folks in the way that we need to be. We are actively cutting off access to things, and that is an issue that we are experiencing on both sides of our terrible two-party system right now, and it's getting worse. And the King of Pentacles comes to remind us that as queer folks, we got to be ready to put our voices out there and be ready to say I don't like that and continue to fight forward towards the liberation of not just ourselves, but other marginalized and brutalized folks around the world. And that's a lot to get into, but it's kind of what we're talking about today. So thoughts?
Well, my first thought is one thing I have been trying to do more lately is just calling out homophobia and transphobia and like acknowledging it more, because this was a huge trope in the 80s and 90s, and I think the early 2000s as well, was the white people feeling like black people were always blaming everything on race. Like, oh, you always blame it on race. And here's the thing. It often was about race. Like, people of color, black people were right. It was like, but white people and white fragility and also just people being ignorant and not knowledgeable, They didn't want to acknowledge that racism was at play here and that white privilege was. And so, you know, black people are trying to be like, hey, racism is part of why this is happening. And so I think it's very similarly with homophobia and transphobia. It subtly affects our politics, our interpersonal interactions. I think it subtly and overtly affects a lot of things. And so I just try to call it out more, you know, just be like, I think this probably has something to do with homophobia or transphobia. And in Eau Claire, most people around me disagreeing. But at least I'm talking about it. And I'm like saying, no, it probably is.
Oh, gee, the cis straight white people from small town Midwest. No, that can't be the reason.
Right. Just like if a cisgender man walks down the street in a dress and beard and, you know, people would be like, it just doesn't look good on him. It just doesn't look good. And it's like, well, that's probably a little bit of transphobia and homophobia, maybe a little bit of sexism. Yeah. And people being like, no, it's not sexism. It just doesn't look good. And it's like, no, it's probably rooted in sexism.
The question that I have for that is, what tells you that it doesn't look good on him? What is your reasoning? Like, it's, I mean, really, I love that approach of just being like, no, I think that this is what it is. And I think the another thing to try is like literally like turning it back around on them and asking, why is it that you think that though? Because usually our opinions on those types of things are quite unexamined, right? Mm, like people aren't thinking about the reasons they think or feel about things, except for, well, I don't know. I've never... And usually the answer comes down to, well, it's just not something I have experience with. And it's like, oh, we just hit it, didn't we? Like, but it's like dragging them, kicking and screaming to the most basic epiphany, right? But
yeah, that's like a pretty benign example. And like a worse example is then you attack that person because it offends you.
Yes.
And anyway. That is kind of partly what we're talking about today. So,
exactly. And with the King of Pentacles, again, I always like to bring things back to actionable things. Queer folks right now, and we're going to talk about this, queer folks are under attack in this country in a way that we haven't seen on this big of a scale. And right now, we have a lot of elected officials who are really good at saying, hey, don't do that. But nothing else. We don't have a lot of power structures in this country set up to protect other queer folks. So we have to protect ourselves and we have to protect each other. And that's a big part of the King of Pentacles.
Yeah, and just to like protect, anyway, just like all of us. Anyway, sorry. I had a visceral emotion of, ugh.
No, absolutely. That's the last time that's going to happen today. But it's so true, right? Like we have to look out for one another. We have to, and also we do have to take care of ourselves. There's like that double line. If we give too much of ourselves and we don't take care of what's going on inside, we're going to be depleted. We're going to be exhausted, and frankly, we're not going to be able to keep going. And that's not good either. So take care. If at any point during this episode you feel like this is too much, I got to peace out, try skipping ahead a few minutes. And if that doesn't work, we will see you next week. It's okay. We understand. Because we're going to talk about some tough stuff today. I'd also like to caveat that we might talk about some things that Mama and I are not disagreeing on, but maybe in two different places of like thinking about or understanding, because we're all focusing in on the things we can right now. So if it gets a little bit tense, that's okay. We're all in love.
And also, we're recording this on March 17th, 2024. And my opinions may change. You know what I mean? Like this.
Yes.
Nothing is set in stone. Mine too. I'm always open to learning and growing and evolving my opinion on something. And also, part of what we're talking about today is we want to talk about stuff in thoughtful ways, but I also want to talk about stuff in kind of our emotional reaction ways too.
Yes.
So if yes. we say something a little bit off color, it's just because we're reacting emotionally and we don't necessarily feel that. So anyway, just take everything we're saying with a grain of salt.
These episodes are really interesting because usually I don't feel like you and I have to give all of the like leftist podcast caveats that go on for 15 minutes. But these episodes, I do feel very, I'm glad you said that, because you're right. We're going to have visceral reactions here. We're also going to have reactions that we're in the moment dealing with how we feel about them. And I will admit, I'm coming in with a little bit more for preparation, just because I curated a lot of the articles we're going to talk about. So I've had a little bit of time to sit with my feelings. So I'm going to leave it to you to have your feelings first, and then maybe dive into some of the facts surrounding the way that it feels. Because again, feelings and facts can go together. Fucking Ben Shapiro.
They're feeling facts. They're not true, but they feel true.
But they feel true. And we're well aware that our feelings might feel like factual statements, and they're really not. They're just visceral feelings that we're feeling because we're exhausted, angry queer people, just ready to explode. So with that in mind, let's jump into, I'm actually going to start off with a broad, like a broad kind of a topic. And I am going to actually share my screen with you so you can see what I'm talking about. This is a website called translegislation.com, and it is literally just a trans legislation tracker. Mama, can you please read the summary at the top of the page about the number of bills in the United States that have been that just exist?
Go for it. Yeah, this has been weighing on me, all of us, very heavy, and it's
yeah.
So, the 2024 anti-trans bills tracker. In 2024, anti-trans bills continue to be introduced across the country. We track legislation that seeks to block trans people from receiving basic health care, education, legal recognition, and the right to publicly exist. So, there are 523 bills currently out there.
Introduced.
Yep. In 41 states. 10 have passed, 426 are currently active in some way that's not finalized, and then 87 have failed to pass.
So I'm going to scroll down to something, and I want, again, I just want you to read out loud what it says. So we're talking about this. Can you just read the difference between 2022 and 2024?
Oh my God. So, and actually maybe we should start at the first one to show.
Sure. Go all the way back to 2021.
Yeah, so 2021, there were 143 bills introduced and 18 passed for anti-trans bills. And for anti-trans bills, this can be about bathrooms. This can be about gender affirmation procedures. This can be about access to hormones for teens. This can be about updating your driver's license. Anything that prevents trans
sports teams.
Oh yeah,
sports teams and performance.
Absolutely. So 2022, 174 bills introduced, 26 pass. And so what is that? That's a total of 44 bills passed in just 2 years. And that's a ton.
Yep.
That's a ton, because you also have to remember right now, our government can't agree on anything. And these are also state governments, not federal. But anyway, so 2023. So remember, 2022, 174 bills were introduced. 2023, 600 bills introduced. That's what? At least three times, maybe four times. It's huge increase. And 87 pass. And then in 2024, 523 so far.
I also want to remind our listeners, we're in March.
Yeah, so 2024 I think I said the wrong year. So 2023, 600 bills. 2024, 523 have been introduced, and it's March.
It's March. We're not even three full months into the year. And also 10 of them have already passed.
And this is about trans folks, and anti-trans bills affect everybody in the LGBTQ community. They also affect people outside of it, but not everyone acknowledges that. So we just got to remember that LGBTQ people, we are a bigger population than people give us credit for, but we're also but we're also a small part of the population. So for 600 bills to be about our communities is kind of insane.
Yeah, absolutely, it's insane. And what's just maddening about it is when you come down, so I'm scrolling down because they have a section, what types of bills are you tracking? They are tracking bills about education, sports, healthcare, civil rights, bathroom bills, employment, incarceration, child abuse, performance, marriage, birth certificates, military, and then they have just a generic one that says more plus. And I just wanted to scroll down here. They have specific numbers for healthcare. Bills seeking to deny gender-affirming care, medical care that is supported by every major medical association, has surged in recent years. In 2023, the number of healthcare bills increased fivefold. We will continue to track healthcare bills as they are introduced in 2024. 2018, 2 bills. 2019, 4 bills. 2020, 24. 2021, 40. 2022, 35. 2023, 185, and in 2024, as of March 15th, 132 bills. Should we scream? Should we scream?
it's so many things. It's everyone involved in government is responsible unless they're actively fighting for trans and queer folks. But it is a majority of the Republican Party that is, and the Republican Party, if you haven't been paying attention, I can't help you. Girl, you're under a rock. You gotta get educated. But the Republican Party is just insane, and they have discovered that trans panic works in their stirring up their voters. And that's a combination of misogyny, sexism, homophobia, transphobia, racism. It's a combination of all of it, and they're discovering that this stirs up their voting base and gets people to the polls. And so they're playing a fucking political game and messing with our lives. And
I was about to say, and like by utilizing our lives as pawns, it's
not an LGBTQ. And I always cite the whole community. I think trans issues affect all of us and we're all invested. But I don't say that to say that. But this also does impact trans people the most. So when I say this affects all of us in the LGBTQ community, I also don't want to, like, take away any impact from trans folks and be like, yeah, trans folks are feeling this the hardest. Absolutely. And in our community, we have to understand that they're being hit harder than, KJ and I are both non-binary. KJ presents a lot more non-binary. I don't really present non-binary at all. So I am not as impacted in my day-to-day life. Plus, I work remotely. You know what I mean? So I guess I have a lot of... don't know what I'm losing myself.
Do you mind if I jump in and try to unscramble some of that?
Thank you.
Because I hear a lot of what you're saying. And I think what's hard is that they're all valid points that are hitting you all at the same time. And it's like, how do I fucking compartmentalize any of this? And I just want to say, in your, like, not necessarily defense, but just to kind of give you a little more credit than that, where you face it is that when you're on the phone all the time and you have people refuse to take calls from you because of the way you sound, you have people literally, like, degrade you over the phone because of the sound of your voice. And because it doesn't fit their idea of man or woman, you are a gender anomaly.
Right. And so it's very awkward when I get called ma'am. Not because I don't mind being called ma'am at all, or miss, or she, her pronoun.
Right. I don't care.
Doesn't bother me at all. But why it makes me uncomfortable is I know mid phone call, they're going to start questioning that pronoun choice. And I can hear it in their voice. And they're kind of deciding, do I keep going with these pronouns? And I'm not there to help them. I'm like,
right. Nope. I'm going to let you suffer with this, because at this point in time, you should.
Anyway.
I'm so tired.
So my whole point is I'll often reference the whole queer community, but I don't want to take away from trans people's experience who are getting impacted more, because we're all hit in different amounts of ways, and definitely other people are being hit harder than definitely I am right now.
Yes.
So, yeah.
But that's why it's super important that those of us who maybe don't have the same levels of threat on a daily in our face way, that we're actively engaging with this. And I think that's where your point about this impacting the whole queer community. It's true. In the 80s, the queer community was, if anything, even more fragmented than it is now. And gay men didn't want to care about trans women or drag queens or any of that. That was all separate, right? They had their own mostly white gay bars in New York City in the 70s and 80s, and they were able to kind of push everybody else to the fringes. They had gotten just a little bit of a taste of what it felt like to have a little bit of equality by being, you know what I mean, like cisgendered, like attractive white men in particular. And we're seeing now that the solidarity across different parts of the queer community is stronger. I'm not saying it's perfect. Mm-hmm. And we can also say queer communities, plural, right? Because there's multiple communities within the community. So I hear what you're saying when you say queer community. You're not trying to undermine, you know, the experiences of capital T trans folks, right? Because also, I like to remind people, trans just means you identify as a gender, not the one you were assigned at birth. So both of us do fall under the trans umbrella. And I do. I go out very confusingly. I have a full beard, a full face of makeup, and clothing that is frankly very difficult to discern. Who is she, them, right? And just a couple weeks ago, I experienced maybe one of the first times I've ever felt really unsafe in Minneapolis because of my gender expression. I called you about it, actually. I had somebody scream something from a car. They screamed out, "I see you, you fucking cocksucker." And I had just dyed my hair bright purple, and I was in full face and feeling really good about how I was looking. And they might have just been driving. Yeah, what? Where? But I didn't look because I was like, nope, don't give it anything. Just keep walking. And there's a chance that they were just yelling at another vehicle because they got cut off. But because I was at an intersection. But, you know, I was outside of the car. I was walking. I had a moment where I was like, right. We also have to remind ourselves as queer folks, the safety any of us feel at any time can be ripped away from us in an instant. It does not take much for someone to decide they don't like our existence sometimes. And it's really important that we stick together on that, that we understand one another's experiences and identify with each other more. And I'm happy to say that I see that more and more and more, especially with those these young chickens coming up. They're not perfect by any means. No one is. But there is so much happening within young queer kids, and the number of people identifying as queer in some way is just gorgeous. We have older folks that are realizing that they're queer in some way, shape, or form. I'm kind of getting to the happy part a little early, I think. But I think we need to diffuse the rage before we get into the ragey stuff, which should we?
Let's
Should
go.
We get into our
Let's
next?
Go.
Right.
Hello, everyone. This is KJ coming to remind you that we do have our list of resources down in the show notes to help you stay informed and also to help you get involved. I've highlighted in the past our love of ground news as well as the Five Calls app. And in the past, we've also brought light to organizations such as the Okra Project. And today I'd like to highlight Jewish Voices for Peace, an organization that is currently working towards helping the public understand the crisis and the genocide happening in Palestine, as well as ways that they can actively get involved and helping to inform folks of not just what's going on, but also how they themselves can be a part of all of it. So you can find them on Instagram at Jewish Voices for Peace, and also check out their link tree so you can find other links and resources that they have to offer. Thank you so much, and now let's get back to the show. So this next piece, this is trigger warning. This is, talks of, suicide, talks of like brutal attacks, violence against queer people, abuse at the, abuse and neglect, is what we're about to get into. So again, take care if that's going to be something that's going to be really hard for you to listen to. But we're going to talk about Next Benedict. A student at an Oklahoma school who died recently after a vicious attack by fellow students in the restroom of the school they go to. They identified as trans non-binary. They, according to friends and family, they used they and he pronouns. And they were attacked in the bathroom by three girls who had been bullying them for quite some time, it has come out, about their gender expression. And what, from what we understand as of now, apparently they were in the bathroom, they were being attacked in some way by these girls, obviously making fun of them, bullying them for the way that they dress, and they threw water at them. And that was the impetus for this brutal, vicious attack that left them, according to apparently surveillance footage, to them not being able to walk themselves to the nurse office. The nurse then saying, I don't need to call an ambulance for you. They got sent home. One of their family members took them to the hospital where they stayed for a little while and then were discharged and then brought back to the hospital and then passed away. They are now dead. And the article I would like to read from Pink News is, we're going to do this in a couple of ways. I'm going to read the headline, and we're going to talk about the way the headline is structured, and then we're going to talk a little bit about the information. So from this one's from them.us, trans teen Next Benedict died by suicide, says medical examiner. An initial report from the chief medical examiner in Oklahoma City's toxicity from, and you will be much better at saying this than I will, diphenhydramine, yep, and fluoxetine,
which is
Benadryl and Prozac,
mm-hmm,
right? Okay, I remembered. I was going to say you took pharmacology. I did not. So first of all, when you hear an article headline, we have an immediate reaction to the way that that article headline header is written. How does that immediately impact you?
Well, yeah. So first of all, so repeat it. Repeat it for me one more time.
Yes. And we will get into examining the actual facts surrounding it. I just want you to try to just react to the headline title. Trans teen Next Benedict died by suicide, says medical examiner. That's the big headline.
Yeah, so that line puts all of the blame on the victim. It That headline makes it seem like, this is what the headline makes it seem like to me. The headline makes it seem like, oh, thank God these girls aren't the ones that killed Nex. It was Nex died by suicide, and that's tragic, but they are the ones who took their own life. That's not how I feel. That's right. How the headline kind of sounds. It's kind of
exactly
exonerating the girls and making it seem like Nex is dealing with demons.
And it's, now, I think the article was trying to make it clear. This is what the examiner said. This is what the medical examiner said. But again, when we write those headers like that, people don't read articles. They read headlines. And then they read, if there's bullet points at the top of the article, they might read the bullet points about the article. The number of people reading articles from beginning to end, let's just be honest with ourselves. It's not a ton of people. We have reduced news down to slides on Instagram in a lot of ways. And while I think that can be useful, we cannot fit all of the nuanced information there. So I wanted to add a little bit of context here. So there is an Instagrammer and a TikToker who goes under the header Under the Desk News. They literally get under a desk and they tell you about the news. And their name is V. Spehar. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. And they go by she, they pronouns. And the day that the medical examiner's initial report came out, they posted on Instagram and on TikTok, the medical examiner's report is not done. It gets released on March 27th. Do not make the mistake of spreading the Owosso police statement that Nex died by suicide. Even if there was a high dose of Benadryl and Prozac in Nex's system, it's accidental overdose, not suicide. They are trying to shove this away. Wait for the independent autopsy and information. Wait for the report on March 27th. And I thought that was a really powerful way to say that, because we knew from the very beginning, the news that was coming out, they were trying to get ahead of the fact that the internet got a hold of this story much quicker than we normally get a hold of these tragedies. And they were trying very hard. I know that some people wanted to like slow everybody down. And there were some queer folks that were like, we got to stick to the facts, guys. We can't start posting these accusations back and forth. But what I think some folks were trying to do, and I'm actually behind it, is they wanted to get out in front of this before the police and the medical examiner and all of these folks could shove this under the rug as just another queer kid that died because they couldn't handle the reality of the world.
Also, my first reaction as a nurse is, fluoxetine, a selective serotonin reuptake inhibitor, and then diphenhydramine, an antihistamine with a hypnotic effect. So any drug has a toxicity and an overdose point. I'm not fully educated on how those would kill you, but I do feel like people who are going to commit suicide, I don't think those are the drugs you would use. I think you would use more recreational drugs. I think a lot of people use acetaminophen because acetaminophen and its liver toxicity will kill you much faster. I just think people who are trying to commit suicide, these aren't common choices. And I would also want to know the level in the system, because a lot of times Benadryl is a coping mechanism for people. Since it does make you tired, you can just, it's kind of an anti-anxiety, you can just go to sleep. These drugs sound like coping mechanisms, unless of course you're taking them in high quantities, then obviously that probably is intended to do self-harm.
Right. And it's actually good to have that medical perspective, because what a lot of people have pointed out is that the narrative that's being spun, and they even like released part of the footage from the hospital bed of the police officer trying to tell Nex, if you bring charges against these girls, they can countersue because you started it. You're the one that threw water at them. so you started it, so they had the right to defend themselves. And I'm like, defend themselves against fucking what? 3-on-1 over a little water? Go fuck yourselves.
Right?
And so fucking hard.
And also, first of all, when we're starting about starting things, we're sounding childish. We're sounding childish when we're like, who started it? But if that's where we have to start, I think verbal assault is not innocent here. I don't think I don't know Nex's day-to-day life. I don't know if these girls were terrorizing Nex from day to day. I have to assume if they were willing to get physical that quickly, I have to assume these girls weren't nice to Nex. And that, I would consider starting it.
Well, exactly. And also, it's just, they're doing everything in their power to minimize what these three, and I want to make it clear, I'm not advocating for super harsh penalties for all of these girls. I am not the type of person that's like, electric chair, put him in jail forever. Like, I can't get that way, because I don't believe in the death penalty personally. I don't believe in any of these things, because I don't think that this type of violence helps solve anything. But I do believe that the parents have a lot to answer for.
The school.
Because they are way... The school, the parents, the adults that were involved in this that did fucking nothing to help this student.
And then I'm bringing a lot of my own life experience into my feelings. But I used to work with a queer youth group, and I interacted with schools a lot, because I would interact with their gay straight alliances, their GSAs. And so our youth group was community-based, and we would go to GSAs to just try and connect with the youth and let them know our group existed. And administrations fight GSAs tooth and nail. If anyone in the community has an issue with it, they side with the people with the issue. They don't protect the queer students at all. And this is the administration. I'm not talking about teachers. And I'm not, you know what I mean? This is the administration whole. And so I'm assuming in this situation that no one was seeing a systemic transphobic issue, that obviously Nex was unsafe at school. And as a nurse, if I had a student come to me in that situation, maybe Nex didn't need an ambulance, but obviously there's a lot more at play here than just getting beat up in the bathroom. Right? Like, getting beat up in the bathroom was the boiling point of transphobia in a toxic school environment, obviously, is what I'm thinking in my head.
Yes. I mean, to bring a little bit of my life experience into it, I remember when I was, I believe, a junior in high school, I was on the verge of coming out. And I remember one day I was walking down the hall, and Miss Butnick, who was one of the teachers that did all the school plays, she taught freshman English. And also, for a while, she had a speech class, and she also had a, she ran the forensics team with the co-teacher who also did all the plays. And she was not a perfect teacher. She was not a perfect person. No one is. And I know that you and I had slightly different experiences with her throughout our high school years. But she called me into her room while I was walking down the hallway and, like, sat me down and was just like, I just wanted to check in because I'm wondering, is there something that you feel like you need to talk about? Because I was just so depressed. And, like, there was... that was the year that a lot of awful things got said about me in the school. There was a whole time period where a lot of really terrible things got said about me. And it was a kind of a nightmare. And I hadn't even come out yet. And she knew, right? She knew. She had been working with me since fucking eighth grade when we did Someone Save My Baby Ruth. Do you remember that? That play that we did where you played the chef with Danny?
I was like, she had known me.
Yes, Fahrenheit. She knew me because she didn't actually do the play. That was Miss Nelson. But she had come down a couple of times because Miss Nelson was doing it. So she had met me and she knew. She was like, it's And my whole point with the story is that at schools where kids don't feel like they have anyone they can go to, a GSA is like the bare minimum. Having a single teacher that they can just go to their room and be like, this happened to me. I need somebody to advocate for me. That the reality is that around this country, there are so many kids growing up at a time where being queer, I'm not going to say it's trendy. It's just trendy to a lot of people creating content, right? It's like trendy to have queer characters and to have them be very fashionable and very beautiful. You know, we're kind of back to that trope in, but now it's like these young high school students who like run the school because they're gay or because they're queer in some way. That's not really the reality for most queer kids around this country. And they're being terrorized by the kids and they're being terrorized by the adults in their lives. And we don't need video footage to know that that's true because we've experienced it.
Also, what's going on in this country is so, it's polarizing, right? We do have areas of this country that are very accepting, very liberal, and like lots of progress is happening. And then on the opposite end of the spectrum, we have parts of this country that is going fucking Amish and just going backwards. And so it's just like these two insane points. And it's just, so it is, it's like, it's confusing.
No, it's very confusing. And it's also, it's a lot to emotionally deal with because, so I kind of summarized the article that gave some of the information about what happened to Nex, partially because I know that we're trying to talk about a lot of things today to really, really get at the heart of a lot of issues. But I do encourage everybody who has not like done a little bit of diving into Nex's story to dive in, because their story is not an isolated incident. It just happens to be getting a lot of media attention right now, which I'm grateful for, that at the very least it's not being completely ignored, but to also be very careful about the ways you read headlines and the ways that media, whether they mean to or not, there is a bias that's being brought into the way that stories are reported, and there's a bias that we bring to the way that we read articles and the way that we read stories.
And I think queer people, especially right now, are really lifting up this story and making it loud, because we're reading the writing on the wall. For one, this is a horrible thing that happened that should be talked about. Like, in a...
Yes, of course.
In an isolated incident of its own, it deserves to be mentioned and to be analyzed. But I also think queer people, with everything going on, I think we're all just like, this is a symptom of a greater problem that's getting worse with all these anti-trans bills being passed. Like, holy shit. And like, yeah, and like actual government houses are they're considering them and passing them. Like, this is actually happening, and it's very, very scary. It's just because what's going to end up happening in this country, it's already happening, is we're going to have safe haven states, and we're going to have states that are horrible. And
yes,
and that's what's going to happen. It's going to happen where some states you can be yourself, in other states it's going to be criminalized, and from state to state it's just going to be night and day.
So that actually, I was planning on saving this for a little later, but I actually do think it's really important to have a conversation about the political fortitude of the leaders we are currently forced to deal with right now, because right now we are surrounded by political leadership that has no political will to actually do anything about this. There is a difference between saying I am an ally and actually doing something. And the current Democratic leadership squandered their first 2 years in office with a supermajority and got basically nothing passed. With a ton of senior leadership, so it wasn't an issue of, oh, too many incoming freshmen. They had a lot of senior leadership, and they did nothing. They did not do anything to protect Roe v. Wade before it was overturned, even though they knew it was going to happen. They did nothing to protect trans rights, even though this has been a trend, as we just showed, for the last 5 fucking years. We are surrounded by leaders at the federal level that won't act. They won't do anything, but they will tell you that they are going to after the next election. Now, if you track it back, let's really take some stock of how much the Democratic leadership has gotten done for minority communities on a big scale, while they've had two separate entities of supermajorities in the last couple of years. And then let's take stock of what the Republicans have gotten done, even when they don't have a supermajority. The problem with the Democratic leadership is that they don't have the will to act. They're too afraid of pissing off their corporate donors. They're too afraid of looking too weak on this or too strong on this. Whereas the Republicans, they don't give a shit how they look. Now, I'm not saying the Democrats are necessarily worse, more evil people than the Republicans. I'm not going to get into that debate. What I am saying is we have a problem in this country with being trapped in a system where our best bet is currently a rematch between Donald Trump and fucking Joe Biden. That is our best case scenario. And I just want to give a message to all of you out there who are saying, I don't know if I can bring myself to vote for Biden again. I want to say that I actually do hear you. I personally, I am not speaking for anybody else. I'm saying I hear you. He is brutalizing people at the border. He has done very little to actually put protections in place for any of the communities I care about. And now he's telling us that he needs 4 more years to do what he could have done in his first year of office if he had just fucking done something. So I understand why there are some of you who don't know what to do right now, who are feeling really hopeless and really lost. And like, I don't want Trump to be president, but how do I vote for Biden again? You know? And I know that's a lot to take in. So I've, like I said, I'm speaking for myself. This is not the stance of the podcast TM. This is my stance and I will stand behind it. But I'm mad. I'm pissed off that he keeps sending money to Israel. I'm pissed off that he keeps fomenting genocides in multiple countries at the same fucking time and won't listen to anybody about the fact that we don't want that anymore. That the majority of Americans don't want that. And it makes it really hard for people to say, well, Trump will be worse, because they're seeing how the current leadership isn't necessarily that much better. I'm not saying that Trump isn't a nightmare and that the 2025 plan isn't the most terrifying thing I've ever read, because it is. But when you listen to communities that have been routinely brutalized by both sides of the aisle, you understand why they get to a point where they're like, I can't trust any of you. How do I vote? How do I, in good faith, engage in this political sphere? And that's part of my rage right now, is I'm fucking pissed off that I feel like we have no options that are viable right now. And that's not fucking fair. So I don't know. I don't know if that resonates with you, or if that makes you sad or upset or uncomfortable, or how that makes you feel. But that is a lot of what I've been carrying around recently. And
I totally agree that our system sucks, and it sucks that we're a two-party system and you have two options and that's it. And I hate that we have a system where if you vote for what we call third-party candidates, I hate that everyone attacks you and says you're a bad person, because
yes,
we should have more options. We should be able to vote for the third party. And the reason I'm putting that in quotes is because I don't want a two-party system. And to say it's the third party is acknowledging it's a two-party system. Like, so I totally get that. I personally feel that it would be... I personally feel that it's also like night and day. Like the threat of Donald Trump in his office is huge. And I just think if...
I mean, it is.
And I just think people aren't... You can't compare Biden and Trump because Trump is a... Trump could... That presidency could do awful, awful things. It did. 2016 and 2020 did awful things for LGBTQ rights, for, you know, there was the Muslim, there was everything. I mean, it was constant. So I do think that in my mind, though, I have no issue with voting for Biden. I'm like, we don't have the luxury. It is unfair and we don't have a choice. That is how I'm feeling. And that doesn't mean we can't talk about it and have discourse. Like, John Stewart made an excellent point that it is not on the voter and the American people to defend Biden. It is on Biden and his party to show us that, like,
to do something.
Yeah, and are you too old for office? I personally think yes.
Yes.
I hate how old this skews. As a person that works with the elderly, I just don't think you should be running the country in your 80s. I absolutely do not. In your 70s, it depends on your health. So...
I'm laughing mostly out of discomfort. I should make that clear. I'm like,
And I'm not trying, I'm also not trying to be ageist and say that people in their 80s and 90s have nothing to offer. That is not what I'm saying. I'm just saying that in your 80s, you also have such a vast amount of life experience that is so different than people 60 years your junior. And remember, people 60 years your junior can still vote. That's how old you are.
They sure can.
That's how old you are, Biden. So, you're disconnected. Biden, you're disconnected. And I also realize that voting for a person, you're not voting for a person. You're voting for an apparatus. You're voting for an establishment. You're voting for the Biden apparatus and establishment, which is... Anyway, so I'm getting off on a tangent because, honestly, I didn't disagree with anything KJ said. I'm basically... The only thing I'm saying is I personally don't have the same... I personally am just like, but there's not an option. You have to vote for Biden. That's how I'm personally
I was
going to
say, there's a difference between... I think I'm glad you didn't say you didn't have a moral quandary with voting for Biden, because I think you do. I think we all do a little bit for various reasons.
I definitely like Biden a lot more than KJ. I think also there's a lot of good that's happened. And so I do have a sunnier perspective on Biden. But at the same time, I do think our system sucks, and I do think we should be able to criticize our political candidates without fear. And this is what I have, actually. This is what I have. I have intense fear when people criticize Biden because of my fear for Trump. And that's what a lot of us have. That's what a lot of us have. And so I'm here to say that I hear you, those people. I have intense fear when I hear the criticism, not because I disagree with the criticism, but because... I'm afraid of Trump and his army. Like, I'm afraid of that. And I think we all should be. And I think if you're not, I don't know who
you are. I think it's... I mean, I was going to say, I don't think any of those people are listening to the podcast. Because no person who is criticizing Biden wants Trump. They don't think that he is... awful. You know what I mean? That's something that I'm glad you also brought up the thing about voting for third party candidates that makes you like the Antichrist. Because no, it doesn't. You are voting for the person that you want to see in leadership. That's the whole point of a voting system. And when you just treat it like a numbers game, that's why we're trapped in this system. That's why we can't fix anything. And the voices I'm trying to uplift are even more marginalized than you and I as white queers. People of color have been screaming for years that the Democratic establishment expects them to vote for them, expects them to vote to fix things, and then they cry out after the first 4 years every single time, you said you were going to do it, then you didn't. So how about you do it this time? We're going to do it. We're going to help you get voted in, but you got to do it. And then they don't fucking do it.
And then we have 4 years of a Republican, and it's worse in some ways, but in some ways not for some of these folks. You know what I mean? Because the day-to-day life doesn't change for some of them in the same way. That's what sucks so much, is that I don't want my fear of a Trump presidency as a queer person to shadow or talk over people whose experiences are vastly different from mine as a white person. That's a big thing that I want to make sure I'm listening to. And the folks that I'm listening to are making incredibly excellent points that sometimes the things that don't impact us as white queers impact people around the world who are not white in a way that is devastating. The images coming out of Palestine are horrifying, and we paid for it. Because if we don't pay our taxes, we go to prison.
That's why the Palestinian and Muslim population in Michigan did during their primary was they, what is it called? They voted not committed.
Uncommitted.
And
guess what? Minnesota had 19% of Democrats vote uncommitted in the state of Minnesota.
This is everyone's way of saying, Biden, we want to vote for you. We really do. But if you don't change what's going on, as the United States, as the American people, not the United States, that's what I mean.
So there you go, yeah.
Because the genocide in Palestine and Israel, the genocide is by the United States. Like, the United States is committing the genocide just with Israel. But the American people aren't. We aren't. And that's what I'm saying. We're disconnected from it. We're on the opposite side of the world.
Right. We're on the other side of the ocean.
And so, I totally lost my train of thought. But I guess what I'm saying is, this is our way of saying, we don't want to be involved. This is not our conflict. We don't agree with it. We're seeing the footage on TV and it's horrifying. How could anyone agree with it? We also don't agree with the terrorist attacks that Hamas did on Israel. Like, you can disagree with both. This isn't an either or situation. Anyway, my whole point is, so they're voting uncommitted to say, we want to vote for you, but if you don't change how the United States is impacting that conflict, we don't know what we're going to do. Because we don't want to vote for Trump, but how do we keep voting for you?
Exactly. And that's what I'm trying to get at, is that I'm not trying to tell anybody how to vote. I'm just saying that we have to start listening to people whose experiences are different from ours, but just as valid. And I think a lot of us are. And this is not a you and me specifically thing. This is a general thing that happens, because like you just said, we are disconnected from this by literal like miles of sea and land. But we also live in a time now where we carry a little thing in our pocket that can show us what's happening around the world literally moments after it happens, which is something very different for politics. That is not something. That's part of the reason, fun fact, I wasn't going to talk about this, but that's part of the reason they want to ban TikTok, because they don't like the fact that it is much easier for people to share information, and TikTok is not owned by an American company. So they don't have control over that company's business practices.
No, it's so xenophobic because everyone's afraid of China. And so they're stirring up all this fear. And that's why this almost has bipartisan support, this ban of TikTok. And it's just so obviously xenophobic, because what you're actually afraid of is Jeff Bezos already knows where I live. Right? Mark Zuckerberg knows when I get up in the morning.
Like, right?
So I get the fear of China having our data. I do get that fear. But girl, that plane has left the building.
And I was going to say, what?
And also, I don't trust American companies any more than Chinese.
Right?
Like, so right? That's why this ban of TikTok makes no sense to me, because they're like, well, China's spying on us. It's fucking Jeff Bezos, and he would sell us down the river in a heartbeat if it meant he could go to Mars, because he's a stupid, right? Dumb fuck. Jesus Christ.
I know. So anyway, that was a short one. That was a bonus story, because I just, it's maddening. So anyway,
We are. I'm actually really glad that we had this conversation, because I feel like a lot of folks are feeling like they have to tiptoe around it, because ultimately we all agree this is a nightmare. We are trapped in what feels like a never-ending cycle of horror, and the ways that we disagree in how to move forward don't have to be the ending of the discourse, because I think we need everybody to weigh in on what do we think we need to do, because the reality is that this is the dumbest thing in the world, but we are living in unprecedented times. It's lost all meaning, but like in a lot of ways we really are. Like, this is uncharted territory.
And one thing I wanted to quickly say before, because we're running out of time, and
we are indeed.
It is very tricky talking about the Israel-Palestine conflict, because as an educated person, you are just like, this genocide is wrong. It cannot continue to happen. And then all these anti-Semitic neo-Nazis come out of the closet and go,
yep.
Yeah, because we hate them. And it's like, that is not what's happening
whoa,
here.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. That is not what's happening here.
And that's why exactly. This discourse has been so complicated, because of the rise of white supremacy in this country, that a lot of people are against Israel because they are anti-Semitic. And that is true. And so I also don't want to minimize the fear that Jewish Americans are feeling right now, because the discourse is so toxic. But being against Israel's genocide and that's another thing we have to say, our genocide in the Middle East, because the United States, you can't give someone all these weapons and money constantly and be
there are literal U.S. flags on the shrapnel being taken out of buildings.
Exactly. So it's like, that's why American people are so mad, because it's like, we're doing this.
And I also want to say, I want to throw out a couple of like really good groups. The one I want to focus on most is Jewish Voices for Peace. They have a bunch of chapters all over the United States, and they are a large coalition of Jewish Americans and Jewish folks around the world that are really working hard to get the information out there in an accurate way, while also making it clear, here are the ways that you can have this discourse backed by Jewish voices. And I think that's really important, because, again, we should be listening to the voices of people who are not us. And they're just a really, really good... and I will actually have to look this up, because, unfortunately, I forgot to save the post. But there is a group in Israel made up of Palestinians and Israeli Jewish folk who have formed a peaceful coalition, and they are actively protesting Israel's involvement in... like flattening Gaza and taking over Palestine, and essentially, like, let's just be honest, colonizing an area that they had already colonized. So there are a lot of groups out there that are really trying to make it clear, here is the discourse as it is, not the discourse as people are trying to spin it. And I think that's really important, to listen to those voices, and to do our best to actually listen, even when it makes us feel squirmy and horrified, because
I definitely
there's so much.
It is not an easy thing to talk about, and if it doesn't make you uncomfortable, probably something's wrong with you. But I do want to say, lots of amazing work by LGBTQ folks is being done.
Yes.
And also, I just think it's so important to make the fight local, because it is the United States is kind of too large of a country, and it's just like too much information at once. It is so much easier, not easy, but easier to affect change locally. And so, I don't want queer folks to give up on their homes. Like, we're from these places. We have roots in these places. We have family, friends in these places. So, like, if you live in Texas... Texas is amazing and wonderful and has so many great things and has a rich queer history. And we just gotta, you know, and that Texas just using as an example because their politics are garbage. But it's like, So yeah, I just I want I I'm definitely not so at the same time, if you want to get out and get somewhere safer, you go, girl. But yeah, so I'm definitely all for fighting in our communities and staying here. Don't let them chase us out. We can do it. And if we can't, we'll send a van.
Absolutely. Get in the van. And I would like to add to that that one thing you can do to support what's going on in your community is do a search. Do a quick search. Queer events in the area you live. Here in Minneapolis, we have a variety of queer spaces that I can go to that are safe spaces for queers to gather. There's a really cool event space called the Black Heart of St. Paul. They are a bar restaurant that also has really cool live performances, excellent drag shows. The original winner of Drag Race, Bibi Zahara Benet, just opened Roxy's Cafe here, attached to the Nicolette Diner, and they have a really cool space there. Minneapolis is a really cool queer city that I just love being in, and we have an event, I think it's still monthly now, called Telling Queer Stories, where they do online and in-person outdoor events where people just get up and tell their queer life through storytelling. And I think it's just so important to go out and find ways to support art, entertainment, and events. I'm going to focus on that specifically, that are geared towards queer people in your hometown. As much as we love our queer shows on Netflix and Hulu and all that, blah, 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 we really gotta support the community we live in. And I agree with you there 100%. Find ways to get out and do your thing.
And if you're in Eau Claire, we have Target, and you can go to Target and just be gay. You can just go there and go to the Target Starbucks, and there will be a line because that room.
No.
And you just go to Starbucks, and you look at this sad little gay high school barista working there, and you say, "Girl, I get you."
But don't order anything from them because we're divesting from them because they gave a lot of money to Israel. But you can
Laughing
go support
because
that barista.
yeah, say we're not
It's
laughing
so.
because that's funny. We're just laughing because we love Target.
And we're losing our minds just in general. But no, the most powerful thing you can do is find community. And whether that's a few folks or a bunch of folks, and just remember, you can always write in. We would love to tell your stories. We would love to answer questions. I'm doing my best to check the email, but most of our emails are for free offers for biblical studies at an imaginary university. And they think our name is Byron. So if you could write in and
So send
help us not
Byron a
only have those.
message and let us know about your penis enhancement products.
Please. And with that, on that note, let's go.
Launch.
Sláinte.